Buenos días, buenas tardes y buenas noches a mis queridísimos comentadores culturales. En este episodio vamos a estar haciendo la versión en inglés del capítulo Amar a los Justos. Estamos para servirles. Bienvenidos a todos. Estamos felices de poder alcanzar sus oídos. Este es el episodio número 26. Bienvenidos a Cropina, donde la cultura se comenta. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to our dear cultural commentators. Welcome to another episode in English. As we promised, we are delivering on it. We really are putting out an English episode for every Spanish episode. So we hope that you're enjoying that. We hope that it serves you in so many ways. This is our episode number 26 as a total in the podcast history of ours. And we are here to serve you. We are here to talk about the subject of the last Spanish podcast, which was loving the righteous. Loving the righteous. And that is such a good topic. We're going to talk about it. We already finished a lot of things that we were doing because we are getting ready for a new project. So we are really ramping up on our content because we want to deliver to you guys as well as the Spanish speaking community. So that's all. We are set. Remember that we are taking this year's topics from Psalm 146. So if you want to read it and if you want to know what topics we're doing right now and what topics are to come, you can do that because we're actually doing it the same order that they are mentioned in the psalm. So you're welcome to join us in this journey for this year, and we are going to finish strong, so strong. You don't even know how many things we have prepared for you guys. So tune in and be here and lean into to what's happening here in Acropina. As always, you can send in your questions in through our email, and our email is contacto@acropina.com. So contact with an O at Acropina, acropina.com. We will receive all of your questions, suggestions, comments, stories, strategies, whatever it is that you want to share with us. You can do it through that channel, and it's way better because you can actually do it long form. It's not going to be, you know, time sensitive or anything, so it's going to be great direct contact with us. And we pick one specific question that we think is going to benefit the whole community, and we answer it live right here. So Laura is asking, what do you think is the position of the Bible about body positivity and its movement? Okay, so this is a great question, and what we're trying to do is actually answer it in Spanish and English. So if you want to go back and see it as a first fresh reaction, because this is not the first time that I hear it, I have a little bit more time to think about it. But if you want to see the literally spur of the moment reaction, and perhaps you know Spanish, then you can go and check that out. And that is like my first reaction to it, which was like a lot of, I don't know, unraveling of different ideas. But then now I understand that first of all and foremost, really, God didn't really spend that much time leaving us physical appearance as a central part of a person of faith or a person or like a child of God or a righteous person. It's really not the center of the conversation at all. I mean, I really don't know the color, the weight, you know, anything, any specifics really about the appearance of the apostles or the main prophets. It's really not important. And by saying that, I think what I'm trying to get to is not making your body an idol, which is absolutely clear in the Bible. Not having idols and not making images and like glorifying images of what is on heaven or on earth or below earth. That is literally one of the Ten Commandments. So you don't have to have idols. You don't have to put your body and appreciate your body above your relationship with God or your relationship with yourself even, because some people just think about their bodies in a way like they are something to be glorified and satisfied endlessly, right? Like I have to work to give my body all of the pleasures that it wants to experience and all of the things that it wants to, you know, go through. That is not correct. And here's the thing. I understand and I will give that. And I will give this to the body positivity movement. It started really just showing humanity, right? Showing that you don't have to have perfect skin. Perhaps you have scars, you have stretch marks, you have, I don't know, hair or like you're not perfect, right? And we are not perfect. And obviously we have this pressure, especially on Instagram and all of these other things that have filters and have this way of just presenting people in such a perfect way and in such a desirable life, like royalty and also perfect and also super cute and super sexy. And like also there's this pressure of showing off your body and showing off your curves and everything, and that's not even healthy. And we've come to a society which really just puts little children or at least very young people at, you know, 10, 11, 13 years old in front of images that they cannot even aspire to because their bodies are not evolved. They are in a very uncomfortable age where they really don't understand a lot of the things that are happening to their bodies. And also, on top of that, they have a lot of hormones altering their moods and everything. And on top of that, there's like this, you know, expectation of them to look like perfect on social media. And then, on top of that, there's this expectation of sanctity from like the church and their parents and everything else. And also their conscience. So it's a really horrible, horrible sensation to see young people struggle so deeply with this. And I say young people because obviously it's the population that has shown the effects of this trend more, but definitely adults and people of all ages and all relationship status and all, you know, professions and everything. They're struggling about image. They're struggling about having to just accept a part of their body that perhaps they're not as comfortable with, and that's absolutely okay. And it's just a testament of how something that is absolutely good intended, well intended, tends to just turn into something completely ill and toxic and rotten. We have another example in plastic surgery. I mean, if you talk to a plastic surgeon and they talk to you about the history of plastic surgery, they will tell you that it was born in the context of fixing people from accidents, right? Like they lost their nose or they have like a shape in their face that was altered because of a disease, because of an accident, a condition, you know, a fight. I don't know. Like people that really like had their bones broken or things that actually affected the natural form of their bodies. And they would really just focus on that for the longest time, and then cosmetic and like beauty driven and beauty standard driven plastic surgery emerged. And then you see how much of a decay that has brought to a lot of people, because they think that if they can just afford it, it must be just okay to do it over and over and over and over and, you know, change and change and change parts of their bodies. So that's what's happening, obviously, on social media as well. And people are really getting frustrated with all of these ways of showing and portraying yourself. But then, obviously, body positivity went further, and it was not only about accepting people not being just perfect and being human and just allowing people to have imperfections and to be natural. And I love that. I love the fact that we are aiming to a more natural beauty standard, right? And even in their makeup and in their hair, and people are, you know, using their curly hair, for example. And I am a huge advocate of using your natural beauty and actually portraying your natural beauty more and exalting that in yourself, in your image. That's awesome. But then just accepting, you know, self-harming behavior is not really good, not good at all. And as we all concluded, after the death of many, many women, you know, eating disorders are a serious, serious topic. People died from anorexia and bulimia and a lot of other things. They died. This is not a game. People actually lost their lives. because they were obsessed with their bodies. They were obsessed with the image that they had to portray. And I think this is what's happening on the other side now. We are celebrating, as we celebrated back in the 2000s, we celebrated this very, very thin women that were the models of the magazines and the catwalks and everything. And now we're celebrating this very, very obese women that are actually, you know, acquiring diabetes, that are celebrating parts of their body that are really not in their natural shape. They've made it into that shape by eating without any control and just accepting the lack of control and the lack of self-awareness and of self-control as a lifestyle. You don't have to accept the lack of self-control as a lifestyle at all. Like at all. You really don't have to. And that's just a lie from the world. And that's what I think the Bible is really useful to understand this topic of body positivity movement. We are really understanding that obsessing over your body and just glorifying your body and your body's wants and your body's needs and the way that your body responds is not the way. Actually, there's several times in the Bible where it is submitted to us the idea that when people started controlling the way they ate and fasting, they were growing spiritually. And never there was a pressure for either very, very slim waists or very, very thin thick waists. You know, it's not really about that. It's about being healthy and about being able to serve and to love people and to be there for your family and your children and your generations and for the rest of the experiences that you have to live in your own life. So definitely, definitely not making an idol out of our bodies is very important and very clear. I think that's a very huge statement for the body positivity movement. Really just going in on the part of the Bible and what it says, I noticed that when the Bible talks about an attractive person, like a handsome man or a beautiful lady, it never really went in on their measurements, on their weight, or anything like that. Even with the people with whom appearance was like a relevant factor in their story and in their own purpose. Like, for example, Samson or David or Queen Esther or Rebecca. Like, they actually are mentioned as attractive, as beautiful, and it's a part of like their life story. And even then, when it's mentioned as a part of their life story, you cannot even say this was a fat lady or this was a guy with a six pack, or they had this color of their eyes or this color in their hair or in their skin. Like, those are things that are not clearly explained in the Bible. And I think that is on purpose because they didn't want us to think that there was just one beauty standard. And it is evident, like in our history, that beauty standards change and the expectations on the human body, both for female and male, change and shift and evolve and grow with us as a society. But that doesn't mean that we get to accept openly that one of the things that's really the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in our lives, which is self-control, is just not to be taken seriously. No. If society tells you this, this is not what God says. Literally, it says that self-control is one of the evidences, is proof that you live listening to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives in you. So just take that into account. Don't be obsessing over your body. Don't be thinking, you know, I have to please people with the way I look. You have to please God with the way you look, and you have to please yourself. I mean, sometimes I really think about what I put my body through, and I think this body positivity women are putting their bones and their muscles into so much pressure, carrying all of that body mass and all of that weight. It really gets you tired and it really steals your energy from you. And it really is not good. Like, even with yourself, you're just shushing a really important voice in yourself, which is your own body telling you, I'm tired. I want more energy. I need to see correctly. I need to sit straight. I need to, you know, have the vitamins that I need, not only sugar and fats. I need more than just carbohydrates. I need more things. I need more nutrition. So perhaps even it's just a whole contradiction, right? Saying that you accept your body and then you don't even feed it and treat it with love and respect, and you don't want it to endure the years of your life and the adventures that are to come. You don't even know what you will be doing in 10 years and what you will need to have in your body and in your strength to go through the things that come after in life. So it's really worrying that this decay of a good idea has really just affected the life of so many people. And I see it as a reflection of what happened in the 2000s when we were actually openly celebrating these eating disorders in these young women. And I think we don't have to fall in that again. We've all seen the result of these types of things. So that's what I think the Bible has to say about body positivity. Again, whenever you want to send a question or an idea or a suggestion or a comment, you can send it to our email, contact@acropina.com. Okay, we always say this, that we are committed to not really taking that much of your time. So when we take too long in the first part of the episode, we really keep it short in our reflection of the day. So our reflection for today is about the division in churches, which is something very important. And actually, historically, we can see that it has really affected the story of the world, the history of the world. And it has really affected the way that we see society and the way that we see family and the way that we see a lot of things. So we can go all the way back to like people that follow Ishmael and people that follow Isaac, which is the son of the promise. And then we can go to the Greek church and the Roman church. And we can also go to the Protestants and the Lutherans and the Baptists and all of the other little ways that the Bible has been interpreted and the ways that it has all been absorbed by different cultures and by different types of ways of life. And it has really resonated with a lot of people in a very different way, which is actually a testament to the power of the Bible and the power of the message of Christ, which is awesome. But we can also understand that Christ himself, he said that the way that the world would identify us as his disciples was through loving one another. And that is what love for the righteous is. We almost always feel compassion for people in need. We feel compassion to people. Actually, if you don't have like a situation, an actual social or neurological or like mental condition, you can feel compassion for people that are in need, for people that are lonely, for people that don't have God, for people that don't have hope, for people that really don't have a lot of good things in their life. But then we cannot really feel that much compassion as shown in the history of the church for the people in our own church, which is actually not great and not a good testimony for the world. So here's the thing. We need to understand that human interaction and the human experience is really dependent on our ability to live in community, like period. And also much more in our ability to live our faith through community, which is a part of what God really laid as a foundation. He really laid as a foundation not to be mixed with other nations for the Israelites. And then in the new church and in the church that God established through Christ, we can see a tremendous unity and a tremendous spirit of sharing and a spirit of compassion to one another and faith for one another and really being intimate and close, because we are really family. That's what the Bible says. And if we are to believe what the Bible says, we have to treat the people in our churches, in our faith communities, as our family. They really have to be close to us. And we really have to be used and get used to being involved in their lives and being involved in their communities and being into it and really understanding other people's points of view, because they are your family. As we accept different points of view and we can celebrate Christmas together and New Year's Eve together, although we don't really see eye to eye in some subjects, we can, you know, pull it together and have dinner together and enjoy our natural family. We should be able to do that with our spiritual family as well. And also the Bible says we should bless first the ones that are our siblings and our brothers and sisters, in the faith. And we don't really do that. I mean, if you have an opportunity, perhaps you have a job application, a job opening in your business, and you think about other people and not really the people in your church, perhaps you don't really know anyone in your church that you can think of for a job description. Perhaps you are not really taking the time to know the people in your faith community. And I'm not saying put yourself in the line for people that you don't know. No, I'm saying get close to people so that when opportunities of blessing come along, you are really close to these people and you can really attest to their character and to their faith. And because you have prayed with them, because you have prayed for them and you have let them pray for you, and you've lived your faith in community, so you're close to these people. I'm not talking about just accepting some random person in your life because they say that they're a Christian. No, I'm actually saying the opposite. I'm saying take your time to really get invested in your community, to really know people around you, to understand their stories and their strengths and their giftings and appreciate what they have to add to the table in your local faith community. And then when you really know these people, whenever you have the chance, you can bless them with a job recommendation. You can bless them with a family meeting. Perhaps they don't really know anyone in the city and they don't have anyone to share Christmas with. And you, because you're an active part of the community, of the faith community around you, you can let them in because you've known them, because you've seen them serve, because you've seen them pray, and you've seen them in your church. So that's what I'm saying. You cannot really bless the people in your community and in your family faith if you don't know them. I'm not saying you should know that, you should not like open your heart to somebody you don't know. You should go and love that person as if they were your sibling. And actually, for example, there's another thing. Maybe you don't have to, you yourself, give a job to a person. Maybe they are in their own project. Maybe they have their own ideas. And sometimes the most resistance that we see about life changes and things are all about the church people. Church people saying that is stupid or that's sinful or that's, I don't know, egotistical or that's just not good in any way. That shouldn't be the family of faith. Resistance to good ideas, to great ideas, to daring ideas, to brave projects shouldn't be the people of faith. I mean, we are the people of faith, which have the certainty of what is not seen. And we have a supernatural vision of the world and an eternal perspective in things. We are not only thinking about what people say, what people think. We are actually understanding that some of the projects that God is laying on some people's hearts is about eternity. They are about reaching others and about extending and, you know, pulling out of the church and grabbing people. So that is really something sad when we see people of faith, quote unquote, bringing down other people in their faith community just because it doesn't feel right or because, you know, they have an opinion on everything. You need to pray about what you're going to say to people when they tell you their dreams and their projects. You shouldn't be the one decreasing their enthusiasm and their expectation on a movement of God in their lives, right? We should really protect our communities. We should really protect from division our faith communities, and we should work towards having a real connection with the people of faith around us. We should really open up to them and bless them with our giftings and open up to receiving whatever it is in store that God has laid on their hearts and their spirits and what God can do in our lives through other people. So that takes humility, obviously, and that takes faith, and that takes maturity, which are things that we really need to develop because God needs us. God doesn't need a divided church. God doesn't need an immature church. God needs an active, wise, loving church showing the world how to have community and how to be present and how to love one another. So that is the beautiful reflection for today's episode. And we're going to go to the last part of this episode, which is quickly transforming into one of my favorite parts of the episodes here in Agropina. Gracias por escuchar nuestro podcast Agropina Comentadora Cultural. Para seguir disfrutando de todos nuestros episodios, no olvides suscribirte y también déjanos tu comentario y tu evaluación para saber lo que piensas sobre lo que estamos haciendo. Visítanos en nuestra casa www.acropina.com y síguenos en todas las redes sociales como @dosisdeagropina. Gracias. So in the last part of our episodes, we want to leave you an application because we don't want to just fill you with our opinions or information. We want you to be an active member of your community and a great representative of the Kingdom of Heaven. So what do we want you to do as an application of this reflection of today's episode? We want you to identify at least one person or two or three in your church. People that you can cherish, people that you can lift up, people that you can perhaps give some encouragement to. And to those people that you identify that you can add something to, you're going to go to them and you're going to ask them about their life, about how they're feeling, and you're going to really listen. Really listen. And then not just say it, not just, you know, end up the conversation with that cute little comment, "I'll pray for you." You actually are going to pray for those people that you talk to, listening intently, okay? What is this going to do? This is going to bring to your heart and to your spirit those people. And this is going to draw you close to them. Because it's really hard. It's really hard to hate and to be dismissive to a person that you pray about and a person that you listened to and a person that you felt in your heart that you had to talk to. So those three things are going to happen this week, and I'm absolutely 100% sure that God has people that he wants you to talk to listen to, and to pray for. And this is going to bring unity. And I want you to understand that we are members of a community, members of a family. And apart from God, we can do anything. So you need to be linked to Jesus. And you cannot say that you're linked to Jesus if you're not connected to his body, because he's the head of this body. So you cannot love the head and hate the body. You have to actually love the body as well. So I wish you all the best in this week of getting in community with your local faith church or group, okay? And I know it's going to be great. And I want to hear your testimony if you have one in our email, okay? Remember, you can find all of our content, all of the things in our page, acropina.com. Also remember that we are here to teach the truth and rebuild community one conversation at a time. I hope this was fruitful for you, and we will see you the next time.